SAA and the unions. Irvin Jim was not on the show with Rafael Way this morning, but SAA saying, well, you know, bottom line is we need to get ourselves on the straight and narrow. We need to be viable. We can't be taking money from government taxpayers' money each and every time. And part of that is to right-size the business. I also saw something that Firol Hafaji wrote saying that why must the staff pay for Jacob Zuma and Dudu Mayeni's wrongdoing? While I agree with Firol on that, you still need to look at the airline, the staff they have, and how much they actually need to operate optimally. So that is another discussion that one can have. So let's go to your calls right away. Silly in Camps Bay, good morning.
Good morning. You know, I spoke with some young people after Tito Mboyeni explained the dire situation we were in.
Yes.
And now the same applies for SAA. And what they say, it's very interesting. They said that in our country, we call it a consultation. We consult people. And everybody vent. But actually, there is no process in which the other side explain why we have to do things, why we have to cut on, what is the consequences. Mm. And one of them said something so interesting that in Senegal, apparently, they get rappers and new young people, artists, etc., to go and sing about this and talk about this. And so it's not up there with the academia or the very fancy economist or something, but it's actually the public understand, and it's much easier there. There is not as many, like here, everything is we going and down tools, etc. It's much easier if people know where we're going.
And if that, you're talking about communication and effective communication at a level where, you know, everybody can understand and get rid of all the stupid jargon.
Yes, exactly. And,
I like
and explain the future. That if we don't do this, that will happen. People are not stupid. The public, just because we didn't have, some people don't have degrees, doesn't mean that they don't understand if there will be explanation.
One of the most effective tools in the world to use to communicate is storytelling. And if we can somehow, I think a lot of us, you know, I was at a conference the other day and we were talking about the legal side of things and whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, the one thing about legal compliance is actually getting people to understand what they're signing. For example, telling people in plain, simple English, short and concise, this is what you're doing. This is what you're signing. Government should be the same when they communicate, you know, why certain things. Corporates need to communicate and possibly use storytelling to get those messages across, if not rapping or singing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that
thank
would be.
You. No, but that's exactly how it works. Okay, thank
you. I like it, Silly. Silly makes a very good point. And maybe that's something we can throw into the mix this morning, actually. Are there certain industries that must just get rid of their stupid bloody jargon, right, and just communicate more effectively? I think government's number one. When you listen to a lot of government spokespeople and spin doctors, and they all play a very important role, but the most effective ones speak plain, simple English that you can understand. They tell a story so that you can grasp exactly what it is that they're trying to get across, right? Maybe they are, and I think the legal fraternity has some work. Maybe you're a lawyer. You know, do we still need to use Latin? Do we? I mean, in journalism, you know, we had this thing called Audi Alterum Partum, which is, you know, you always tell the other side. Why can't we just say, tell the other side? Why do we have to be blinkin' fancy and use Latin terms to go, like, ooh, Licodinium, combinium, felinium. I mean, speak to me in a language I actually understand. So your calls this morning on 021-446-0567. And then, parking. If you look at the time now, it's 9:13. I think Sharmila is going to be in a bit later and is going to tell you all about the traffic. Now, the one thing you know and the one thing I know is that we have chock and block traffic on that N1 and the N2 all the way till 10:30, maybe even 11 o'clock sometimes. And then you have to ask yourself the question, how do we actually get out of this? How do we actually make it easier for people to get to work and not sit in all that traffic? Yes, number one, we shouldn't be building all these big fancy high rises in the city, but the bottom line is, it's also needed. You need the investment here. So those high rises are here. But what a lot of other cities are doing is that they are actually getting rid of parking. Now, I'm not sure if that's something that we should look at, but globally, the scrapping of car parking is the latest trend when it comes to urban planning, right? Is it an option that one should consider? I mean, just going back to remembering the peak hour traffic in the city of Cape Town, after 9 o'clock, things used to die down. And if one looks at what's happened internationally, between 2010 and 2015, Philadelphia removed 3,000 off-street parking spaces. That's from its city center. And that dramatically affected the chock-and-blockness on the roads, right? So their peak hour dropped. Copenhagen, following the same path. Zurich, implementing a city-wide cap to limit parking spaces, and they went back to 1990 levels. Is that something the city of Cape Town should potentially look at? Is that something you'd be happy with? Now, it'd be good for me because I live out in the Bloemfontein area, so I can get on a My City Bus and make my way in. But one of the other considerations that I've had was actually to get rid of my vehicle totally and use Uber. Why? Number one, it'll cost me half what it costs on my vehicle, the total upkeep and everything. Half per month. If I just used Uber, for example, each and every day to get to where I need to get to. That's the one thing. And I hate driving in the city of Cape Town trying to find parking. The other day I had to go and find some stuff. I've got an apartment and I needed to get some type of glue to just get some plug back onto a wall. And the closest one was about six blocks away. But I eventually got into my car and went to, I think it's called Build It, to go and stop and get what I was looking for. But if we had some type of system within the city itself to make us, and maybe Uber is exactly what we need. We don't need our cars, I really don't think. Let's have this discussion. Let's go to Alexandra in Newlands. Hi there.
Hi, Kinder.
Hello, hello. What would you like to talk about?
It's unrelated to parking, which is also an issue for me, but I heard an ad this morning from Power Plastics, and I actually hear it most mornings.
Mm.
And I suppose I'm concerned I'm directly with them, but my concern is that the ad is really insensitive, and I myself come from an advertising background, so
yeah.
I'm aware of the tactics and the ways in which people are making ads. But this is speaking a lot to what they perceive as negligence of not having...
Okay, do me a favor, Alexandra. I want to hear what you have to say, so I'm going to ask Bruce to get me a clearer line here. As soon as we get a clearer line, and yeah, if you want to take on an ad that you heard on the show, we must definitely talk about that. Nobody's immune to conversations, not our advertisers, nobody, not shareholders, nobody. So we can have a conversation around the Power Plastics ad, and if there is an issue, we can always take it up with the client ourselves. But that's Alexandra in Newlands. Let's try and get a better line. When I get back, we'll get back to Alexandra, and we also take your calls on 021-446-0567 and WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. Welcome to Today. I'm Kino with you all the way through until midday.
Cape Talk. The Open Line. Call 021-446-0567.
It is 9:21 and welcome back to Today. Alexandra in Newlands. Now, I think we've got a better line here, Alexandra. You are having you say you work in the advertising space, but you've got a problem with the Power Plastics ad. Tell me why.
I think it's insensitive. I think it's using tactics that don't really take into account a lot of people's experiences. So I would ask them to think of being a parent or a child, a person that's looking after a child, or anybody who's experienced the loss of a child or or a near fatal drowning of a child, and how they might feel listening to that ad. They're speaking about, can you hear your child screaming for help? And I just think that's just taking it a bit of a step too far. I know marketing and advertising is all about shock and approaching things emotionally, which I can understand, but I just think it's a little bit insensitive and out of touch. I don't think negligence is the way to approach this. Speaking about people's negligence, there's a lot of reasons to get a cover for a pool. But to use that hook, I think they might need to reconsider.
So you're saying the negligence side of that particular ad is not on because, you know, there are various. Yes, negligence could be one reason why, and there are adults are negligent. We can't get away from that. But sometimes things happen so quickly as well.
Precisely, it's an accident.
Okay, and accidents do happen. Do you know someone who lost a child?
Not personally. I've heard a couple of stories of people who have, and it's just touched me. I just feel quite personal. It affects me quite a lot when I hear that because I don't think any person would be negligent on purpose, and so many times it's been an accident. And some people, I mean, I've heard awful stories of someone, you know, they lost their child in a little bit of little bit of water in a bucket. So it doesn't have to happen in a swimming pool.
Okay. Well, I think we have it. And Bruce is just finding it for us. Let's take a listen to it. Tell me if this is the one.
When it comes to your child drowning, would you know what to do? Think you will hear your child calling for help? You probably won't. Drowning is quick and silent. Don't think you have it covered unless the pool is actually covered. Our PowerPlastics solid safety cover watches the kids for you. PowerPlastics pool covers have been securing pools for over 25 years. For safety, sustainability and style, go to powerplastics.co.za.
Is that the one?
That's the one, Kino, and I get what they're trying to say. They do have a point, but I just think as a mum or a dad or someone who's lost a child due to drowning, that would I'd switch the radio off faster than you can imagine.
Yeah. And you know, you're entitled to that. Other people might say, you know, some people need to be shocked into understanding that, you know, if they don't do it. So, you know, sometimes if you think about us having children, I've got a two-year-old, for example, Alexandra. The first thing I did, I didn't go anywhere. I made my own cover with a net, right? But it's safe and it's secure and it keeps the water in. Some people just don't do it. They don't think about it. So that mechanism could shock people, but it also has the opposite. As you were explaining, you believe that it potentially could be insensitive to people who've lost their children as well. Is that that's the crux of it, right?
Yeah, that's the crux of it. Yeah. And I'm like you. I also covered our pool before we even moved in with our child. And so I understand all of that. I really, really do. There's so many reasons to cover a pool, and there's so many different ways of getting that message across. I just don't know that that's the right
thing. And I want to thank you very much for raising that. We can open up the lines to that as well. Alexandra, thank you very much for actually just sharing that with us this morning.
Thanks, Kino.
Thanks a lot. Hey, that's Alexandra in Newlands. Not happy with the ad. She says that you know, it could have been pitched in a much better way. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. And if you've just tuned in, some of the other things I've thrown out there, maybe you want to talk about the SAA strike. That's forced SAA to cancel their flights. Why is there going to be a strike? Why are the unions not happy? Well, SAA, we know, has been in financial stress, owing billions. So what they are saying is they want to right-size the business. There will be retrenchments. Unions are, however, demanding an 8% increase. SAA saying, no, sorry, 5.9%, which is above inflation, by the way. So this has caused a bit of friction. So how are you affected by SAA cancelling their flights thus far? You can call in. And then talking about this trend globally to scrap parking in cities. Do you think it's a good idea? In San Francisco and New York, they've adopted this concept of parklets. And they're essentially mini parks or outdoor cafe seating areas that temporarily replace a few parking spots during the low demand periods. And the theory behind getting rid of the parking spots is that people then won't want to get into their cars and drive into the city. I think it could work if we had a My City running across Cape Town and you could access it from anywhere to get to your particular meeting. Maybe it's not practical, but that is something that you could talk about as well. And then do you have certain words that you use all the time? And people know, oh gosh, when they speak, we're going to have to count how many times you use it. Now, Joe Biden, the former Deputy President of the United States, is no different. He's got a phrase that he uses all the time, and CNN's Jenny Moose unpacked it for you. Take a listen.
It is the ultimate Joe Biden come-on.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Used to convey everything from sarcasm...
My heart breaks. Come on, man.
To enthusiasm.
Oh, come on, man. Let's do it.
In just a single interview, we counted four of them.
Hey, come on,
what happens
man?
Most...
Come on, man. Come on, man. Oh, come on, man.
Oh, sure, other Bidenisms may be more plentiful.
Look, look, look,
look.
Guess what? The fact of the matter is...
The fact of the matter is...
Folks, folks,
folks, look, look, folks.
But look, folks...
Come on, man.
...is so much more expressive.
It's all about round-the-clock sex. It's all... Come on, man.
Whether he's dismissing outdated attitudes or challenging President Trump to a push-up contest.
I said, come on, Donald. Come on, man. How many push-ups you want to do here, pal?
At least Come On Man is G-rated for expressing exasperation. It's a handy alternative to stronger stuff that needs bleeped.
With ridiculous bull...
Joe Biden's former boss employed it.
Come on. Come on, man.
But did Obama get it from Biden?
Come on, man.
Or Biden from Obama? Maybe one or the other got it from the ESPN sports segment.
Come on, man.
Joe Biden's Come On, Man has gotten picked on to the point that right-wingers have come to his defense. A New York Times columnist wrote about the broiness of Joe Biden, calling Come On, Man a rhetorical device that men often use among themselves in locker rooms and barber shops to reinforce masculinity. Conservatives criticized the criticism for being PC. Comic sidekick Andy Richter credited Biden when describing his dog crowding him in the car. In the words of Joe Biden, "Come on, man," an expression Joe hangs on to like a dog with a bone.
Come on, man.
Jeannie Moose, CNN.
Come on, man.
Well, there we go. That's Jeannie Moose. Oh, there's some phrases that you use regularly. Let's go to the messages. Oh, look, now I'm naive. Your statement, reparking, is rather naive. Thank you very much for that. Now, the cities which you have mentioned are all equipped with efficient, cost-effective public transport systems which are safe to use and runs on time. Yes, Pam, I know this, which is why I said if we had a My City bus throughout the Western Cape, it would be an option for the city to look at. It's expensive to drive in with your car, by the way. Very, very expensive, especially when you're idling on the N1. Shamil is going to tell you that the N1 is probably standing up all the way through to Durban Road at the moment, coming into the city, right? So, okay, but if I am naive, that's fine. I will continue being naive in the search for ways and means to actually get rid of that parking lot known as the N1 and the N2 this side of the morning. If we have proper public transport, yes, and I did say that, I think we should limit the parking in the city. Because the more parking you have, the more people think they can come in their cars and park wherever they want, the more congestion you're going to sit with. Let's go to Nikki in Noordhoek very quickly. Hi there, Nikki. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kino. Very nice to talk to you. It's the first time I've been on your show.
Oh, welcome. Well, it's good to have you on.
We have a big problem with our family. We moved to South Africa. We absolutely love your country. It's so beautiful. It's just wonderful. We gave up everything. My problem is, or my family's problem, why would the Home Affairs people allow or give an 11-year-old child, my granddaughter, permanent residency and not her mother and father or her 9-year-old sister?
You're kidding me.
How could you possibly have an 11-year-old child by herself living here without her family?
Okay, can we be honest? I mean, that just seems daft. It seems stupid. And it seems like something we need to actually take up with these people. I mean, what? No problem. You're 11 years old. You can stay here. No problem. But sorry, your mom and your dad and everybody else can't. I mean, it's stupid. That's all it is, Nikki.
Absolutely stupid. And the touch of it is now, they're coming up to the end of their visa. So my son and daughter-in-law and my youngest granddaughter have got to go back to UK.
Okay, well, let's take it up with Home Affairs, Nikki, and let's find what's behind the daftness. I can't find an explanation. I don't think there's any explanation that would seem reasonable. If an 11-year-old gets permanent residency and everybody else is told, sorry, no, you can't. Anyway.
Cape Talk. Cape Talk. WhatsApp Kino.
072-567-1567.
Morning, Kino. I could not agree with Alexandra more. This Pyroplastic ad, absolutely awful. Fear-based advertising, you know, was something that they used to do in the 80s. We all thought that the industry was rid of it. They should be embarrassed, and I agree with Alexandra 100%.
Well, there we go. Those are two calls saying they don't like the scare tactics used in the Pyroplastics ad. And we'll obviously chat to salespeople to share that message with Pyroplastics. Maybe you'd like to give your thoughts on that. Remember, the lines are open all the way throughout the show on 021-446-0567 and WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. On that point, another message says, my brother drowned at 2. Listening to that advert kills me. And then we've got this message that says, I quite agree. Read the ad that you're speaking about. I turn it off and I can't handle it. Drowning child, horrible, says BB. So, well, there seems to be some unhappiness with that ad. And I think as a radio station, as a brand, we need to listen to what you're saying. So we will do the relevant communications. But let's